Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
All righty. Well, let's pray. Oh, Father, what a great day it is. We are so thankful to be gathered here in your name, Lord. And like Wyatt said, we're just so thankful that when we gather, you're here, Father, that your promise is that you will be here with us, literally. I pray that you help us to really think about that right now. That you are truly in our midst, or you are lying, one of the two, and we know you don't lie. Thank you for being here with us, Lord. Thank you for the seniors that are represented here today, Lord. I thank you that you've already planted your seed in them, Lord, and that it's taking root and growing in them, Father. And I pray that you let it continue to grow and that you lead them, Father. Show them their purpose and what you would have for them in their lives. But we're so blessed that they're part of us. They're part of our body. I pray that you help us to encourage them. Remember them in our prayers and in everything that we do, Father, that we can find a way to serve them and bless them. And I want to thank you this morning, Father, for the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for the great gift of the Holy Spirit, in which anything that you do, he's a part of it, Father, in our lives. I thank you, Father, that he is the Spirit of Truth, and he is our counselor and our guide. And I pray, Father, that you help anybody in this room that has not received the Holy Spirit to receive it. I pray that you bless the message today, Father, that it will come from you and not me, and that the people will be able to hear it. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you to Dean Jordan for preaching last Sunday. I appreciate you doing that, Dean. I had several people tell me it was really good, so I'm going to have to listen to it when it gets put up on the website, but thank you for taking the time to do that for us. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, it's a blessing to have multiple men who are willing and able to come up here and share when I'm not here, so thank you very much. The last sermon I spoke on, well, I've been on a kick of preaching on the Holy Spirit, and today will be the fourth session on the Holy Spirit, and I've really enjoyed it. You learn so much more when you study with the thought process of having to turn around and teach it. It's just a different type of learning. And I just really enjoyed it. I feel like the Holy Spirit now is always on my mind. Every morning I wake up and I'm praying, I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit. Throughout the day, I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit. And that's what getting into the Scripture and studying does for you, I guess. Why I haven't done this all my life, I don't know. But look, you should probably get into the Scriptures like I'm doing right now with the thought that maybe you're going to teach this one day and it'll change the way you look at the Bible. But have y'all enjoyed the Holy Spirit sessions here? Has it helped you at all? I hope it did. It's also endless. There's so many Scriptures on the Holy Spirit and his interactions with people all through history. But I've really enjoyed it. Last week we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit out of 1 Corinthians 12. And there was 9 gifts that we talked about. Let's see. I said at the beginning that I thought it was cool that the Holy Spirit is called a gift to us. And when he came bearing gifts. So it wasn't just him as a gift. He came and brought more gifts to us. Every time I preach now, I just keep thinking about the Scripture in 1 Peter that says that he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. I almost want to change that and say he's given us more than we need, it feels like, which I would consider change Scripture. But I mean, think about everything he's done for us. His great love for us. He gave his Son to us to pay for our sins. He came onto the earth and live for us to teach us how to live and to be able to relate to the Father. And then, if that wasn't enough, he turned around and gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we've learned all of the attributes. I thought about naming them, but as I started writing them down, it was just going on and on and on. But just a few, or just one or two, is he is the mind of God. Do you remember when we learned about that in Corinthians? The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is the mind of God. And he's been given to you. I tell you, that verse moved me almost more than any other Scripture that I read about the Holy Spirit. We should probably never be confused or wondering of where we're going in our lives if we have the mind of God living in us. If you really believe that, I'm not saying I don't get confused, but that's a powerful, powerful scripture. But anyway, there's just so many attributes of the Holy Spirit, and all of them have been given to us through Him. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that we covered last week or 2 weeks ago, you got wisdom, knowledge, faith, prophecy, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpreting tongues. These are the nine gifts given to the body of Christ for the body of Christ. Not given to the people in the body of Christ to use how they want to use for themselves. It's given so that you can help the person next to you. It's very important to know. They're not yours for yourself. The reason I'm saying this is the Corinthians had an issue with this, and we do too sometimes, in thinking that these gifts are for us. And we do get to reap from these gifts, but they're not for us. They were never given to you. They were given for the common good, the scripture says, to build up the body of Christ. So one of those things that I just named, you probably have, whether you know it or not. And I'm going to tell you again, it's not just for you. It's for the person next to you. And so we went through those. Paul went on and on about how there was one spirit. One in the same spirit. He said the spirit that gives wisdom is the same spirit that gives knowledge, and on, all nine of them. But he makes it a very clear point. He wanted us to know that there was one spirit. So that's important. But these gifts were given to individuals in the body of Christ for the body of Christ. As I read this list, y'all help me with this. I thought, are we maybe doing something wrong? Because there's a lot of gifts on this list that I have never seen. Now, that might not be your issue or history, but when it gets into miraculous powers, distinguishing between spirits, I've seen speaking in tongues. I haven't seen too many interpreting in tongues. But listen, this is important because these were all gifts given to us, the body of Christ, that we should be operating in daily. Maybe not daily. I don't know. Every week when we get together, I don't know how it works exactly. But it just struck me that we are the body of Christ, and these are the gifts that were given to us. That tells me that there's people in here that don't know their gifts, or they know them and they're not operating. And we want to be able to operate in our gifts. Let me tell you, I don't want you to. I need you to. The people next to you need you to know what your gift is so that you can help them. It's not just for you. It's not just for you, whether you're going to have peace or joy. It's for the person next to you. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will have one of these gifts. According to the scriptures, you will. So everybody in this room has one of those nine gifts. I encourage you in my last sermon to go home and pray. Ask God, number one, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And number two, to find out what your gift is. Did anybody do that? Did anybody try? You don't got to raise your hand. I know that's embarrassing. But look, that's important. It's called being activated into the kingdom of God, into the body of Christ. Actually, coming here, not thinking, I'm coming here just to receive something. I'm coming to give. Let me tell you, that will change your life. That will change your life. I remember when this happened to me as a young man in Christ, came to this very church many, many years only to receive. And in that time of my life, that's what I needed. I didn't have a whole lot to give. I didn't think at the time. And I was trying to learn how to walk with God. So I came for the first, I'd say, 5 years maybe, just listening to Brother Bill, listening to other people teaching and just being a sponge and trying to, well, I was just a consumer only. But I remember one day somebody said, you ought to go with something to give. And honestly, that was revelation to me. I'd never thought about coming into this meeting on Sundays with something to give. I know who it was now, just thinking about it. It was Brother Jerry, of course. Brother Jerry said to give something. Come bring a word of encouragement if that's all you got. If you got a scripture that you read that week that you thought would be helpful, get that scripture and bring it and encourage somebody with it. It doesn't have to be the miraculous powers, although if you got that, bring it, please. But whatever you have, right? Whatever you have. I love the Christmas song, The Little Drummer Boy. I play my song for you. It's all we had. Whatever you got, bring it. Bring your gift. But first you got to know. You got to know what it is. And you've got to not only know, but you've got to be confident in what it is. You got to say, I know this is what I'm called for. When I came to this church as a young man, and I walked in the door, I was seeking God. I wanted to find God. And listen, I'm going to tell y'all something. I was so thankful that there was men and women in this church that were not ashamed or too lazy to say, I've got what you need. Pastor Murphy, I remember, I said, I want to be a good husband. And he said, I can teach you how to do that. Could you say that? Some of you husbands in here, could you say that if somebody came to you and they said, I want to be a good husband, JD, could you say, I can help you. I can help you by the grace of God. He's helped me. Now I'm going to help you. I am so thankful that there was men and women in the church that were willing to take Lee and I in and be confident enough in their walk with God to be able to say, I can help you. We have a weird thing where we being me sometimes, that you feel like you're not worthy of that. Or that you're going to come across religious, and everybody kind of falls under the thing where we say, well, you know, I'm a sinner myself, and, you know, and all that. Listen, stop all that. You are a royal priesthood, the church of the living God, the manifold wisdom of God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. You're God's glory, God's bride. You are the light of the world. People need this light. They need you. They need me to be able to say, we are those people. Embrace that. Claim it. Say, it's me. It's me. I am that person. Of course you fail. Of course you have sin. It's okay. God can use you still, and He wants to use you still. But you have to be willing to say, that is who I am. Can we say that? People are waiting for us to do that. Well, now I can start my sermon. Well, we've learned a lot about the Holy Spirit, and we've learned a lot of knowledge about the Holy Spirit, but that's good, but the Scripture has commanded us to not only know about Him, but to live by Him and live in Him. Did you know that? The Scripture commands us to live in the Spirit. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not like, oh, it came on me today, but tomorrow I'm not going to have it. We are called to live in the Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians. Galatians 5:16. And let's listen to this scripture real quick. Galatians 5:16. Should be up on the board. So, I say, live by the Spirit. You hear that? So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Whew, that's a list. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, everybody say but. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Great scripture. So we've talked a lot, again, about the Holy Spirit. We went over the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. One thing that stuck out to me when I first read this scripture the other day is I was thinking, when we talked about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, we're talking about what I've said before, the essence of God, the literal mind of God. Well, you know, I likened it to my wife, whenever her father died, getting an inheritance, and she lost out on some things, but I felt like the Holy Spirit said she's got her father's spirit. You understand it in that sense? When you meet somebody, yeah, he's like his father, you know what I'm saying? You can see that in him if you ever met his dad. Nate, like his daddy, same thing, matter. So you can see the spirit on somebody. That guy acts like his daddy, or he just carries that. Well, that's what we have in the spirit. Let's see here. I lost my thing. So the fruits of the spirit, when you name all those things, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, that's God's attributes. I know that's, you know that. But listen to what I'm saying. That's who he is. He is the originator of all of those things. He doesn't work hard to have those. You know, we work hard. Like when I read that list and I evaluate my life and say, have I loved? Have I had joy today? Have I been gentle today? God doesn't do that. That's just who he is. He just operates like that. That's just who he is. That's his character. So when you get that in you, guess what? You're going to have those things in your life. I thought that was cool to think that is who he is. That is his spirit. I want those attributes in my life. The fruit. When I read that list, if I'm being honest, I think I have more on the sinful side of things than I do on the fruit. Just being honest, and that's sad. I had to double read the acts of the sinful nature. And there's a lot of things on it that you think, well, maybe I mean, idolatry, I didn't have the witchcraft. But you have, and you do, and I do too. Anything that sets itself up in your life before God is an idol. Anything. My phone is an idol for me every single day. Except for on the rare days that I am in the spirit and I don't have to be connected to it all the time. Witchcraft, as Murphy has taught us many years, witchcraft is manipulation. It's concocting some kind of potion to make something happen that person doesn't want to happen. You're not doing it in front of their face. If you're manipulative, you've had witchcraft in your life. You have done witchcraft. We have done all these sins is what I'm trying to get at, maybe in a different way than what it's saying. When I was younger, I used to read this scripture and the scripture on love and try to evaluate my life to find out kind of where I stood with God. That I believed that if I had the Holy Spirit and if I had God in my life, that I would measure up to some of these things. And let me tell you something, that's not a bad thing to do. But if you did today, you personally, and you read that scripture, how would your life measure up with the fruit that is given here, where Paul says you're supposed to be living like this with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control? Are you living that life? Do people in the world see that in you every day? At the office or at your workplace? Do your children see that in you? Does your wife or husband see that in you? Because we're called to live like that. And if the Holy Spirit is operating in us and living in us and dwelling in us, that will happen. That will happen. But I wanted to tell you this. I thought it was important. You can't make those things happen in your life. You don't have the ability to make it happen. Only the Holy Spirit in you can make that happen. So I used to read this as a young man, and I would try to grit my teeth and have more self-control, more patience, and more grace. But I couldn't measure up like that. I couldn't do it. I needed the Holy Spirit, and when He comes, you don't have to work hard. It's not hard when He comes. I don't know about y'all, but I have found if I take the time in the morning when I get up and spend time with God, that I will have so much more of those attributes, so much more of that fruit in my life than when I don't. And it's crazy how fast I can fall back into the acts of the sinful nature. But it's because there's two laws at work in us, Paul says. There's a law of sin nature and the law of the spirit of life. And we just read that they are in conflict with one another all the time. Right now, where you sit, you have the spirit, the nature of sin in you, and we could call it the spirit of sin, versus God's spirit in you. And they are battling all the time. They both want your life. They want your life. They want everything. They won't settle for anything less. Either one of them. So then it becomes, if I can't make these things happen in my life, the good things, meaning the fruit of the Spirit, then what do I have to do with any of this? Well, we're going to read Romans 8 in just a minute. Whatever spirit you're feeding the most in your life is the one that's going to win out. Do you hear me? Do you believe that? Whatever spirit you feed the most in your life will win out in your life. That's why when I read the scripture in the morning, it is feeding the Holy Spirit within me. And it begins to take over my sin nature. It's not gone. It's right there waiting. But man, when I do it though, and I'm living by the Spirit, my life is so much better. It's not even close. I'm embarrassed sometimes when I read the scripture when I have it in like a week. And I think, why did I cut that long from my source? The things that make me anything desirable to anybody comes from the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And to think that I just wouldn't take time to give to this, when I know what I am without it, maybe you think you're a good person without it, but for me, I'm telling you, Lee will tell you, my children, I plummet. You didn't want to know me before I met God. And I doubt any of you, I'm sure all of y'all are the same. But whichever one you feed, what spirit are you feeding in your life right now? And remember this, neutral is against God. So if you say, well, look, I'm not looking anything bad on TV. I'm just not spending any time with God. Your sin nature will win out still every single time. We're about to find out that the mind that is not submitted to God is hostile to God. Hostile to God. Before you submitted to Jesus Christ and were filled with the Holy Spirit, hopefully, you were an enemy of God. You were an enemy of God. So whenever we get away from the source for a few days, that thing rises up in us and we become enemies. We can. We have to be careful. What spirit are you feeding the most? Do you want these attributes in your life? Who doesn't want love and peace and joy? I always think it's cool with the one in there about gentleness. I don't know. That's a fruit of the Spirit. You don't ever think of somebody being gentle, at least I don't, as like, I don't know, something necessarily godly. But then when you really think about it, it's just something nice. It's just something, I don't know, that speaks of Him, isn't it? Self-control. I need more of it. But that's a fruit of the Spirit. So that tells us that God has self-control, that He's gentle, that He loves, that He's got joy, because these are all the things that are coming out of Him like a river. And they can come out of us the same way. I've experienced the acts of the sinful nature. And I don't want it anymore. They're not good. Young people, you seniors that haven't got in the world, it's not worth it. I'm just telling you. You can trust us. Parents too would tell you the same thing. Good to see you. So does your spirit look more like verse 19 or 22? Let's see. Where am I? Yeah, let's turn to Romans 8, 1 through 17. Sorry, guys, I lost my place there. Romans 8. Y'all with me still? We are called to set our minds on the Spirit. By the way, Romans 8 is one of the best scriptures in all of the Bible. Worthy of study. We're going to read the first few verses here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful men, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So listen carefully here. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Whew, that is a lot. But it's so good. Let's see here. We all have sin in our DNA. It's just in us constantly. The only combatant to that is the Holy Spirit. And like I said, we're not called just to know about the Holy Spirit or study Him only. We are called to live in the Holy Spirit and live by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God in us is fighting every day to win out. And I just want to encourage you today to take the time, first of all, evaluate your lives with the Galatians scripture. Go down the list and see if anything that you're doing in your life is speaking of the fruit of God and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Can you do that? Go down that list and look at it. Receive the Holy Spirit, if you have it, because He wants to give it to you. He wants you to have the love and the joy and the peace. That's His desire. And He doesn't want it to be difficult. He doesn't want you to feel bad. I'm not condemning you when I say, look at your life with that. I'm offering you what the Scripture, what God's offering you, which is Himself. He doesn't want to make it difficult for you. And He never has. When I used to look at that list, I'd always just say, how can I do that? But He's going to make it easy for you when you see it. It's like loving your kids. Not difficult to love your children. It just happens. He's the same way. We have to live by the Spirit. We are called to live by the Spirit. And the way that we do that is we set our minds on the Spirit of God. It's that simple. It's all we really have to offer God or to try to be a part of this. It's just setting our minds on the Spirit. The alternative, which we just read, is death, misery, sorrow. It's a no-brainer. Amen? Amen. All right, y'all stand with me. I'm going to pray for you real quick. I hope that helps you. I hope you do what we're talking about and remember that we're called to live by the Spirit. Amen? Lord, we thank You so much for this day. And again, thank You so much for the Holy Spirit given to us, Father. We have no excuses. You've given us everything, Father. Everything to live this life in a godly way. To know You, to know Christ. You've given us more than we need, Father. I pray that You'll activate us, Lord. That You'll light a fire in us and we'll wake up, Father, to all the great things that You've given us and we'll walk them out every day. I pray that You bless Your people in Jesus' name. Thank You for our sins. Bless them on their journeys. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys. You're dismissed.